I want to thank you all for coming tonight. It's good to see you, and we trust that God will bless you for coming. And as normal, we're going to read, first of all, from the Word of God, Mark's Gospel, in chapter 15. These are some of the most amazing words that have ever been written. Some of the most important words, so we'll take time. We're going to read a bit more than I normally read tonight, but what we're going to read is just wonderful. Mark 15 and verse 6. Now at that feast, Pilate released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now let's read from verse 25. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said he was numbered with the transgressors. Then down to verse 30. This is the people that were passing. This is what they say. Save thyself and come down from the cross. And verse 31 says, Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And that's our reading tonight, and we look to God to bless it to every heart in this room. It's really good to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming. That's from the youngest to the oldest. Boys and girls, teenagers, adults, and the older people too. When an important person dies, the next day, when you pick up the newspaper, there are pages about them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the journalist or the editor that night scrambles about trying to find out what to write about this person? Say it was the Queen. Say the Queen died today. Tomorrow the newspapers would be filled about facts of her life. No. Do you know, I'll let you into a secret. It's already written. If the Queen were to die tonight, what they're going to put in the paper tomorrow, it is already written. Now, what we read here is about two men, and one of them is going to die. Life is made up of statements and questions, nothing else. You either ask a question or you make a statement. And we're going to look tonight at one statement and one question. First question is this, and it's a very, very important question. Pilate asks this question, What will I do with Jesus? What a question. I hope, and I pray that you will ask that question in your heart. What will I do with Jesus? Now, there's two people that are condemned, Barabbas and Jesus. And one of them is going to die that day. These two men couldn't have been different. Barabbas, he was a murderer. He rioted. He lived a lawless life. He lived a godless life. He lied. He cheated. He stole. He envied. He broke God's law. He lived a wicked life. That was Barabbas. He deserves to die. The other man was Jesus, the Son of God. He gave life. In fact, the statement we're going to think about later on, this is the great statement, he saved others. That was his whole life. He helped, he cured, he inspired, he loved, he gave, he encouraged, he wept. His whole life was helping others. He was the good shepherd. He was the great physician. He was the Prince of Life. He was the Lord of Glory. He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So at this special feast, it was the feast of Easter, it was the feast of Passover, and Pilate was the governor. He was the highest man in the land of Israel. He'd been put there by the Roman authority, and what he said happened. He could say, this man shall die. He could say, this man shall live. And just a whim, people had to obey him. So the Jewish people, they came to Pilate, and they said to Pilate, Pilate, it's the feast of Passover. You always release a prisoner. We want you to release a prisoner. So he says to them, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Because he had examined this man, and he found he was guiltless. He was innocent. He'd done nothing wrong. And Pilate knew in his heart of hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ was different from every other man he had judged, because he was a judge. He knew the Lord Jesus was completely different. In fact, he said that he has done nothing wrong. He has done nothing worthy of death. And then he said to the people, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll scourge him. And I'll let them go. And they said, no, crucify him. Now, there are two things in this world that I would not like to experience. And neither would you. I would never like to be scourged. It was horrific. It was barbaric. It was demonic. It reduced a man to the point of death. This massive Roman soldier, huge muscles and a heart of iron, he took a scourge that was made of leather, and into that leather they put glass and they put bone, and they took that scourge and they tied the man's hands to a post and they scourged his back, and many men died when they were being scourged. And each scourge, each lash of that scourge on your back sent pain through your whole being, pain that could never ever be described. And this is what it says. He says, I will scourge him. None of us would ever, 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 ever want to be scourged. The pain, the weakness, it was intolerable. And the other experience that nobody ever, ever would want would be to be crucified. Now, the people said, crucify him. Now, these were the people that had saw his miracles. These were the people who benefited from his kindness. These were the people that knew that he raised people from the dead. He fed the hungry. He gave sight to the blind. and the many miracles and the words of grace that came from his mouth. There was no one ever lived and served like the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Pilate said, "I'll crucify him." But I find this so tragic. I find this so sad that before he delivered him to be crucified, it says he scourged him. Oh, the sufferings, oh, the agony, oh, the shame, oh, the pain that the Lord Jesus Christ endured. And we're going to think about that in a minute. Why did this happen? So the Lord Jesus was scourged by this Roman centurion or Roman soldier. Then he was taken to be crucified, and they gave him a cross to bear, a heavy cross to carry out from the judgment hall outside the city of Jerusalem, out, and as we sing in the hymn, "There is a green hill far away outside a city wall," where they crucified the Lord Jesus who died to save us all. What a day that was. What a dark day in human history. There have been bad days in human history. There have been awful days in human history. But this was the darkest day. This was when men and women turned their back on Christ. And he was delivered to be crucified. And so they led him out and out and out. And he carried that cross out to that hill outside Jerusalem, where they nailed him by the hands and feet. This was a man. I do a bit of joinery. I'm not a joiner, but you know, I'm a DIY man. And I've got some nails and a hammer. And if I want to fix something good and proper, I gets me a big nail and a big hammer, and I put that nail through the wood. I think that's what nails are for. And I think that's what a hammer's for. It's for fixing wood. Securing wood. Do you know, that's what they did with a man. The Lord Jesus Christ. They nailed him, it says that. They nailed him to the tree. They made a tree, they made a cross, and they nailed him to it. I want you to think of the hands of Jesus. You know, they are very frail, for they were pierced by a nail. They only reach heaven at last whom these frail, pierced hands hold fast. I'll be in heaven because the Lord Jesus was nailed to a cross and he died for me. So they nailed him to that cross, and then they raised that cross up. But you know, even before that, they smote him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. I was pruning roses in the week. I'm a better gardener than a joiner. And I had my sick tears out, and I was pruning roses, and I got a few thorns in my hands. But when I was down in Cornwall last year, I went to this beautiful garden, and there was a tree, and it was called the thorn bush, and the thorns on it were that size. And they reckon this bush came from the land of Israel many, many years ago, and I've never seen thorns like this. And they made a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. Now, I had one thorn in my hand and that was sore. But can you imagine a crown of thorns? And then it says they smote him with a reed. It was as though they were inflicting the maximum pain on this blessed one. Now, I want to ask you a question. Everybody in this room, I'm going to ask you, not the person sitting next to you, but you. Particularly, this is my question to you. Why did he die? Why was he there? Why did they crucify him? There's a reason. And you need to know that reason why he was there. You need to know the reason he died. You need to know the reason he was crucified. Would you like to know the reason? Would you? Would you like to know the reason? He died for you. That's why he was there. He was dying for you and me. He took our place. He bore our sin. We want to think about that just for a few minutes. When he was upon that cross, people passed by. There were soldiers. There were common people. There were the religious leaders. There was a centurion. There were many people passed by and they looked up. And I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder if they were asking in their heart, why is he dying? Now there were two others there that were crucified. And they were dying because of their sin. They broke God's law. They broke every law. They were evil men. One of them said that. He says, we deserve to die. But this man has done nothing wrong. Now when the Lord Jesus was upon that cross, there were certain people that asked this question. They said, he saved others. Why can he not save himself? And I'm here tonight to tell you why. He won't, he wouldn't, and he couldn't save himself. One of the greatest thing in the world is love. It's love. The Lord Jesus himself said, no greater love. There's no greater love than this, than a man should give his life for his friend. Now I remember not the winter there, but the winter before, there was a little chap, Russell dog, and it got onto ice and it fell into a river. And the owner of the dog, he tried to rescue the dog because he loved that little dog. And he lost his life. It's because he loved that dog. And there's remarkable stories, remarkable things that have happened just recently. A person went into a fire, a house with a fire, to rescue his son. Because he loved his son. And he lost his life. And there's one amazing stories of people who've given their lives because they loved someone. And I know of a lady who had a child, and this child, it had a problem, it had an illness, and it was very weak, and that mother night after night nursed that child. She didn't sleep. She sat all night with that little child. She was exhausted, because during the day she had other children to look after. She had to do the washing, she had to do the cooking, she had to do the cleaning, and at night she had to nurse this ill child. Because she loved that little child. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross. That's why he was crucified and that's why he died. Because he loves you. And he loves me. I love that little chorus. And it's quite simple. It's not great big words. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You know, if I read this Bible from cover to cover, if all I learn is this, that Jesus, that God loves me, what a truth I've learned. The God who made the universe, the God who made all the atoms, the molecules, the cells, the structures, the seasons, the planets, the stars, the universes, the oceans, the great animals, the plants, the flowers, the moon, the sun, the stars. And he loves me. And remember, when God made these things, he didn't start with anything. He made them from nothing. He created them from his own power. And that same God, who I have sinned against, he still loves me. And he wants to bring me to himself. And he wants to bring me to heaven. And he wants to make me like his dear son. He wants to save me. And so when the Lord Jesus upon the cross, these high priests, these priests, this is what they say. He saved others. Now this is my statement. I've given you my question, and I'm going to come back to my question later on. My question was this earlier on. What will I do with Jesus? That's my question. And the statement is this. He saved others. There was a man one day, his name was Bartimaeus. He was blind. And he heard Jesus was passing by. And he shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord Jesus heard them, and it says he stood still. And he says, "Come here." And they brought Bartimaeus to the Lord Jesus, and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "That I might receive my sight." And the Lord Jesus gave him his sight. There was a man and his daughter, 12 years old, Jairus, his name was, she died. And the Lord Jesus went into that house and he said to the girl, "Little girl, arise." And he restored her to life. He gave her life back and he gave her back to her parents. Now there was another man who was 38 years, he'd been a cripple lying at a pool. There were 5 porches at this pool. And each day his friends brought them and they laid them there. And they came at night and they brought him home. He couldn't work. All he could do was beg. What a hopeless, dark life. What an aimless life. What a sad life. And one day Jesus passed by. And he changed that man's life. He gave him hope. He gave him joy. He gave him peace. And he can do the same for you. He's done it for me. He saved others. This is what they say. He saved others. And then they say this. Himself he cannot save. It's not that he couldn't save himself. It's that he wouldn't save himself. Because on that cross he was taking our place. He was dying for our sins. You know, I wouldn't like anyone, I'm bearing my heart to you. I wouldn't like anyone to know my sins. God knows them. God took my sins and he put them on the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon that cross. Now, everything has a weight. Whether it's a pen, a watch, a book, everything has a weight. But the heaviest thing in the world is sin. A troubled conscience, a troubled mind, a troubled heart. There's no peace. It's a weight. You do something wrong. Why is it you're afraid to be found out? Because there's a consequence. Remember Ian Huntley? So on. And he brutally and ruthlessly killed those 2 little girls. And he hid them in the wood. Why did he do that? I'm not asking why did he kill them. Why did he hide them? And I remember, it's quite a few years ago. It was a wintry morning. It was in January. And the paymaster and two private soldiers, they left the barracks at Glencourse. And they went to the bank in Pennycook. And they drew out, I think it was £9,000 to pay the soldiers. And when they got back into the Land Rover, there was a man in the Land Rover and he says, "Drive to the Pentland Hills." And he took them to the Pentland Hills and he told them to get out of the motor and he put a bullet in each of their heads. And they were lying on the snow, 3 men dead. What did that man do? He hid. He ran away and he told lies and he hid. Why? Because he was afraid of the consequences of his sin, because all sin has a consequence. And the Lord Jesus, he bore and he endured the consequences of our sin upon that cross. He took our sin and became personally accountable and responsible for it. And he died for our sins. That's it there, my friend. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Praise his name. My sins, he has died for. And I'm free. And you could be free tonight from your sin, from the penalty and the consequence of your sin. You could be free from it if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Allow him to come into your life and into your heart. Because that's God's answer for sin. Christ is the answer for sin. You can't scrub it away. You can't pay to get it removed. You can't go to a priest, a minister, a rabbi, a pastor, a prelate, a pope, or whoever it is. You can't do good works. There is nothing you can do to take your sin away. But God is the answer. And it was in the death of Christ. You know, there's a lovely verse that's found in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, all. Now that's a small word, but it means everyone. All we like sheep have gone astray. I worked in the farming industry for about 7 years, and I used to go into farms all the time. By golly, if there's a hole in a hedge or a fence, the sheep will find it and they'll get out and they'll get onto the road, and before they know where it at, they're lost. And a shepherd has to go and find them and bring them back, because they've no road signs. If there's, especially in lands afar, if there's a wolf, a lion, a bear, whatever, it will have them. A sheep is defenceless. There's nothing it can do for itself. And the Bible says we're like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And then it says a remarkable thing. It says, and the Lord God laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all we like sheep have gone astray, but on him was laid the iniquity of us all. So what I learned from this verse is that Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has died for all our sins. And if you will come to him, if you will receive him as your Saviour, if you will open your heart and receive him as your Lord and Saviour, he will cleanse your sins. And God will make you a child of his own. He will bring you into his family. And that's what is meant by being born again. The Lord Jesus said this, you must be born again. You need a new beginning with God. You need to come to God and start afresh with God. And that's where we come to our verse that we were reading. He saved others. He can save you. If he can save me, he can save you. You know, he saved Georgie Best. And you'd be surprised at the people he saved. Well, you wouldn't really, because it said he saved others. And he's willing to save. You know, he doesn't go sort of into Morningside or Kelvin Grove or some posh part in London and look around for all the nice people and see. No. He goes into places like Easter House, and he goes everywhere. He can save nice people, he does. But he can also save the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus and pardon receives. He can save the worst drug addict. Do you know, he can save murderers. Yes. Rapists? Yes. Drug addicts? Yes. He saves others. He can save you. Now I come back to my original question. When they write the headlines for someone important who's died, I wonder what the headlines were in the paper the next day after Jesus died. I wonder if it was just Jesus was crucified. I wonder if it was in a small part at the back of the paper. Because that's where people put the Lord Jesus. They put them on a Christmas card. They think about them maybe a little on a Sunday. Sometimes not even at all. They put them in the small print. Do you know what he wants? He wants to be in your heart. He wants to fill your heart. He wants to fill your heart. He wants to be your Lord and Saviour. And do you know he's worthy of it because of who he is and of what he has done. And you know, this is a big world. Well, it's a kind of big world. But you know, the world can never satisfy your heart. All the money, all the fame, all the fortune, it can never satisfy the heart. Only God and only Christ can satisfy the longing heart. You know, I'm like you sometimes, I read or hear about famous people, and then I discover they've got tragic lives. All the money, all the fame, all the popularity, all the success, all the glory, all the medals. And then you find them injecting substances into their body because their lives are empty. Why? Because they haven't got Christ in their heart and in their life. Dear friend tonight, I don't know if you're saved or not. I don't know if you love the Lord or not. I don't know if your sins are forgiven or not. But my message to you tonight is to bring Christ into your heart and into your life. Believe God's word. This here, this book, every word in this book is true. You can rest your whole life upon this book. It's the word of God, and God never lies. And those who build their life on this book, this is what the Bible says. When the wind comes and the storms come, your life will be like a house that's built upon a rock. But those who build their lives on this world, they're like building on the sand. And when the storms come, and when the rain comes, and when the wind comes, and when the trials of life come, they've no foundation, and the house falls down. The Lord Jesus says, whosoever heareth these words of mine, and believeth on me, is like a house built on a rock. He saved others. He can save you. I want to finish with this question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Shall we pray?